So I wonder what you think of when you think of a saint. I think that it's a term that's used really loosely these days. Someone has a particular set of virtues, and another person comments, "Oh, he's such a saint." You may be very familiar with the saints if you're from the Roman Catholic tradition. I grew up in the Protestant tradition, and it was very foreign to me when a Roman Catholic friend said that they pray to the saints. In the Episcopal Church, we celebrate the saints. We understand saints like this. A saint is a holy person, a faithful Christian, one who shares in the life of Christ. The term may also indicate one who has been formally canonized or recognized as a saint by a church authority. So that means in the Episcopal tradition, saints are just regular sinners who happen to be forgiven. As a child, my favorite living saint was Mother Teresa. I was so inspired by her that a teacher of mine, who happened to be Roman Catholic, gave me a coffee table book filled with photos of her ministry and stories about her that I still own today. I think it's in my office. It was later in 2003 that the Roman Catholic Church beatified her. And if you remember, it was in 2007 that Mother Teresa's private journals revealed her struggle with faith, which turned out to span for 50 years. She wrote in one undated letter, "My God, I have no faith. I dare not utter the words and thoughts that crowd my heart, afraid to uncover them because of the blasphemy. If there be God, please forgive me. When I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such convicting emptiness that those very thoughts return like sharp knives and hurt my very soul. I am told God loves me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great, nothing touches my soul." End quote. The church still canonized her a saint in 2016. This is the reality about All Saints Sunday, All Saints Day. Today we celebrate all the saints, not just some. And the church has this wonderful tradition of, after celebrating all of the saints, we celebrate all of the souls of God, all, not just some. Saint Augustine is one who is upheld as a saint throughout the church. He was a man of faith who lived in the 4th century and is notorious for penning in his young age, "God grant me chastity and continence, but not yet." He had not one, but 2 mistresses, fathered a child out of wedlock. He ran around for decades until he finally abandoned his mistresses, and I guess by virtue of that his child, and became a celibate priest. And he's revered as a saint. Augustine's theology is one of the main pillars upon which the church as we know it is founded. This is a tough truth to acknowledge, that saints are people just like you and me. It's a tough truth to acknowledge because you and I can do pretty miserable stuff too. And it's so much easier if saints are just in some unattainable category beyond our complicated lives. But the tough truth is that you and I are called to the same love as the saints, the same forgiveness, the same inheritance as the saints in light. So here's another point of these days that celebrate all the saints and souls of God. These are days we're invited to grieve. This year, particularly, we remember those who've been buried from this parish. There's Sally Hamilton. She had a quiet presence in the pews, praying faithfully here at Calvary. Wendy Latour Marone, who hadn't been here in a long time but was buried here. And her vivacity was known not only in Cincinnati but around the United States. Phyllis Reed, who had a spiritual gift of humor and a cunning smile. And Tate Greenwald, whose commitment to outreach touched many lives, who prayed daily for the church and its life and growth in his final days and weeks. As we grieve others who have died, I, like you, stand here today and grieve my own dead, those I've lost to heart failure, overdose, COVID, and old age, and tragic accidents, and suicide. We hold them here with us today. And here's the thing about these days of honoring saints and souls. Some grief, like the lives of the saints, is more complicated than other grief. It's challenging to grieve a parent you loved who was also a terrible father or mother. It's challenging to grieve someone when we have residual guilt because we treated them poorly while they were still alive. Or to grieve the friend who wronged you and from whom you were estranged, and now they're gone and it never got reconciled. As Pastor Nadia Bolz Weber wrote this week, it's unavoidable that at some point the fabric of our hearts will snag on the rough side of other people. And that can make grief pretty swirly and not so basic. And the rougher parts of us will snag the hearts of those who we love, and even when we don't mean to, we may hurt them. And when we die, the grief they feel will be complicated too. And yet today, we're invited to remember and honor all the saints. We remember and honor all the souls beloved of God. We've been given this inheritance through our belief in Jesus Christ, that God came into the world, lived as one of us, and had his own heart grieved by the jagged edges of us that ultimately led him to the cross. It's our story. It's our story of all the saints, all the souls of God, the people of Calvary Parish, past, present, and yet to come, that make up the overarching story of God's love and forgiveness far beyond our own personal imaginings or even ability to love and forgive. As Eugene Peterson paraphrases the scripture we heard from Paul's letter to the Ephesians this morning, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had his designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. We've been given this inheritance that the grief and the loss of those past is not the end of the story. And we celebrate a church filled with the legacy of the saints and the souls of God, recognizing that saints are simply forgiven sinners. We have been given this inheritance, that in spite of ourselves, God is ultimately working all things out within and beyond us. And so today we come bearing this hope. We place our pledges, the symbols of a part of our complicated lives, as an offering on the altar. And we do this in a hope that in the year to come, both we and the church will be transformed. Transformed by the hope that is the love of God in Christ that's leading us into newness of life. As you bring forward your pledges to be blessed in just a few moments, you can also find a card on your bulletin that says, "My Prayer for Calvary Church in 2023. And on that card, you're invited to pray for a ministry of the church, a hope for our life together, or a personal prayer that will help with our shared transformation in the body of Christ. So may our confident, fearless love of God shepherd us beyond our thoughts, beyond our fears, from death into life. Amen.